Good morning, Unity family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So for those of you who looked in our website and saw the calendar of speakers that was listed from August, our Jana Robinson was to be here today, and we are continuing to hold Jana in love and light as she heals. I spoke to her yesterday, and she sends love to all of her Unity family. So together, there's something we call in the church I grew up in. It's called corporate prayer. And that's when collectively we hold the same intention. So I'm going to ask you for just a moment to hold that intention as we see our precious sister Jana and healing love and light flooding her entire being, and with me seeing her gracing this stage at the right and perfect time. And so it is. Yes. I'm grateful to be here on this perfect, fabulous, beautiful, wonderful, delicious feeling Sunday morning. We can breathe. It's clear. It's wonderful. Thank you, Marie Ann. Wow. That song is a sermon in and of itself. It really is. Just knowing that the greatest thing that we can learn to do is be love. Just be love. Just love. And receive it. It's two sides. It didn't say just to love. It says, and to be loved in return. It follows the law of giving and receiving. It's part of the same, to be open to that. So thank you for that. My title says Great Expectations, and I want to take a look at the word expectation. Visual aid so I can look at it clearly. According to one of the many dictionaries, an expectation is a belief about what might happen in the future. An anticipation, hope, trust. The degree of probability that something will occur. The act or state of looking forward or anticipating. For example, an expectation that the weather person who reported to us this morning was correct. So if he or she said it would be warm and sunny, I expect to feel warmth when I venture out of my home. I expect to feel that. If they say rain, perhaps I don't see a cloud in the sky, but if I'm expecting to trust them, I might tuck my umbrella in, and I actually put my umbrella in hopes that I'll help it not rain, but anyway. So we have some expectations. I also have an expectation, I don't know about you, it has happened to me, that when I put the correct amount of money in a vending machine, just saying, that I will receive the item that I have chosen. So when I press D3, I expect the item from D3, probably peanut M&Ms, to fall out of its perch and down into that holding area and for me to be able to withdraw what I've expected. When we look at this from Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, look at it metaphysically, he adds a little bit to that anticipation, and he says it's an anticipation of divine good, looking about for wondrous benefits that God has prepared for us. In every person, that which causes that person to hope for and expect that which is good and true, that this very expectation helps it, propels it, to actually become active in the person that has set that expectation. So moving from the mundane examples to some more Sunday morning appropriate examples, when I think of expectations, I think of how I am going to frame, for instance, a prayer. What is my thought going to be behind a prayer? What is my thought going to be behind that intention that I set? Am I praying expectantly? In other words, am I following the examples of affirmative prayer from the Fillmores? Am I praying my truth, knowing it in advance before I actually see it manifest? Am I praying expectantly? Am I praying with that measure of hope that actually causes me to be able to see in my spirit before I perhaps receive it physically, tangibly? Am I praying expectantly? My title doesn't stop there. It says great in front of it. Just doesn't say expectations. It says great expectations. When I looked at great, the first thing that came to me was large, big. So since I went to a source to make sure I get a little bit more information, I found words like unusually large. When it comes to numbers, numerous, unusual or considerable in degree, span, power, intensity. Also, great can be wonderful, first rate, very good. Notable, remarkable, exceptionally outstanding. Great can be important and highly significant. So I began to think about, can I pray expectantly, but can I also imagine my life with not just expectations, but great expectations? Can I move beyond my human ability to think? Can I add something to it? Is there something more than just expecting to have my breakfast in the morning? Can I move beyond expecting to follow some paths that have been laid out before me? As I look at examples, expect to go through school and complete if I do my work and I do my studies. Can I expect to graduate? Can I expect to get a good job? Can I expect to have a place to live? And get beyond those tangible expectations. Can I have a greater expectation of living a life? And as our master teacher, Jesus, spoke, to live it abundantly. How do I do that? Can I bump up my expectation of living? Can I bump it up from being an ordinary existence to an extraordinary existence? How do I do that? Where do I go and look for examples? What came to me were the works that I saw reported in Scripture, the works that our master teacher, the rabbi, performed as he walked the earth. A couple of them came to mind. I thought about the parable of him feeding 5,000 in one scripture, 4,000 in another. I'm not going to get bogged down in the actual details, but the thought is this. He had a group of his homeboys, also known as disciples, that he was rolling with, and he had done some speaking and teaching. And he says, wait a second. The disciples said, let's go. We need to go rest. You need to go rest. And he's saying, they're still here, and they're waiting for something. They've got to be hungry. Let's feed them. You know the story. What did they do? What? We'll feed all those people? We don't have anything. Check, he says, and see what you have. Two loaves, right? Five loaves, two fish. What did he do with that? Yes. He said, bring it to me. That's number one. The second thing he did was take them. And he spoke a few words. I'm paraphrasing. He holds them. And in one of the scriptures, it says, he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. In unity, the looking up isn't this, to the God up there, oh God, please bless this. I don't know how you're going to do it, but just kind of, you know, just work it out. I want to look good up here in front of these 5,000 people plus. But in unity, we say, it's looking through a higher consciousness. And we know where heaven is. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within. So what he did was he looked away from the doubting folks. He looked away from the physicality of what he had. And he looked beyond. I would venture to say he had a greater expectation of what was going to unfold than some of the people in his camp. Would you say that? And we know the rest of the story. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, and they went about and they fed. They fed the people in a camp. And 5,000 often is interpreted as men, but can you just imagine the women and the children, the families? So we might multiply that to an even greater number. Thousands and thousands. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a miracle. But I go back to what Charles Fillmore says in The Revealing Word when he's talking about miracle. And he says, these are events that take place as the result of the operation of a higher unknown law. He does not say it's the operation of something impossible. I love that because when I sat with that, I realized, Kathy, you don't have to know the answer to everything and how everything is going to unfold. Know that there are some mysteries in the universe that you are not going to understand, but know that the divinity within you, the divinity within each of us, understands on a deeper spiritual plane that what may seem to be impossible is indeed possible. And then, in Scripture, in John, Jesus says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He doesn't stop there. He says, and greater works will be done. Not just copying what I did, he says, and greater works. I've read that many times, but when I read it recently, it just bowled me over. I believe that he had a great expectation of everyone he came in contact with. That's what I believe Jesus said. He had a greater expectation. He's teaching us that I'm modeling for you what's possible. I'm modeling for you the possibilities. I'm not just doing it and saying, line up and follow me and I'll show you some fun things. He says, follow me, meaning follow the teaching I'm sharing with you, because I went in, I went away. I took that time to connect and to remember that I am one with the Creator that created me. I am one with all of you, which means we're all one with each other and the Creator who created us. And that's why I can believe I can have some great expectations about my life. He didn't say go out, okay, you need to do one greater than her and you need to do one greater than him. He just said, and greater works will you do. He didn't put a limit on it, didn't put a cap on it. That makes me think, oh, Kathy, got some work to do, girlfriend. Work on building up the expectation that you have for your existence in this life, on this plane, while you're drawing breath. So how can I do that? He did a few things when he performed his miracles. Gave thanks in advance. So when I'm setting my intention in prayer, when I'm thinking about how I want my life to look, when I am anticipating what is possible for me, I'm going to give thanks in advance. Even if I can't figure out how it's going to work out, I feel it in my spirit. And with practicing our principles and remembering there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, and we like to say expressing as my life, because each of us are individualized expressions of God. Then I had to be about the business of practicing and remembering what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, and to bump up my expectation in what I am affirming. I can bump up my feeling. I can bump up my excitement about it. I can take the limits off of it. I can change the lens through which I see the possibility. Part of that prayer is waiting expectantly for the nudge, anticipating that wisdom that comes from within. We have different names for it: sitting in the silence, meditating. For me, it begins to merge all into one: prayer, meditation, sitting, waiting. But not waiting, "Oh, I'm not sure, I don't know, I don't know if this is going to work, I don't know if the power and presence really is the one power and presence, I'm not quite sure, because it doesn't really look like that right now. It's some lack in my life, and I'm seeing it." But to change that and take a breath and follow scripture that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," and look at waiting a little differently. I can wait actively. I don't have to wait passively. I don't have to sit with my legs crossed and just, I'm waiting for something to drop out of somewhere or someone to give me. I can wait in the sense that, okay, I have set that expectation. I have made my desire known. And I invite Spirit to lead and to guide and to give me a first step. I can believe my prayer of, "Give me this day my daily bread." What is that daily bread that I require to make that move, to make that step in that great expectation that I might hold for myself? So I need to wait. Listen to the voice of Spirit within. That's an active waiting. In Scripture, Jesus tells us to seek first what? The kingdom of heaven. That tells me, reminds me, Spirit first, God first. Universal power and presence first. That's where I go first. In other words, I'm not doing this under my own human maneuvering. I'm in partnership. I know my oneness. And when I have that focus, knowing that I'm coming from the inside out, say, okay, this may be doable. This is moving from that, "I'm not sure," to "this may be doable," to "this is doable." When that was spoken, when Jesus talked about seek first the kingdom of heaven and all the rest shall be added, it was because he was talking about not to worry about, you know, what you're going to eat and how you're going to dress. In other words, not to worry about how those daily needs that we have are going to unfold, because he says Spirit knows it before we ask about it. In other words, and he says, you know, the Father knows what you need before you ask. That says to me, it's already there in Spirit. It's about me claiming. How am I going to claim it? How am I going to claim my rightful inheritance? How am I going to grab hold, bump up my expectation of divine substance that is always available and put it to use? Each of us has access to that unlimited divine substance. It's about knowing that we are faith-filled to be able to utilize that divine substance. For me, having great expectations is an activation of my faith. Having that great expectation says to me, turn any thoughts of fear, any thoughts of lack or limitation, turn it around. That's just faith pointing in a direction from which I don't want things to happen. Turn it around, because we all have all the faith we require. Where is it focused? In the what ifs, I'm not sure, but in yes. With God, all things are possible. In knowing my oneness, in knowing that I'm not alone, and knowing that I have a reservoir from within upon which to draw, tells me I can bump up my great expectation. Marie Ann sang this morning about learning to love. It all ties in. My great expectations have to be attached to me knowing that I am the love of God in expression. It's got to be attached to that. Because the greatest commandment is loving God with everything I am, all I have, all I can think about, all I can muster, and loving my neighbors as myself. So this tells me that it's through love, that attracting power, that magnetizing force that draws my good to me. By following that first commandment, I've got to be tied into my source. So fully embrace the love that each of us is. To fully embrace that. We've got to be plugged in and know that we're one already. The light is there. Turn up my dimmer. Make it bright. It's all about the love. When I am loving God with all that I am loving myself. I am in turn loving my neighbor. It's not I'm going to love him, but I'm not sure about her. I don't know. And when I'm about the business of love, for me, it's analogous to keeping my mind stayed on God, because God is love. So it doesn't have to be this huge mystery. I'm going to write these down, write these 10 commandments down, and make sure I'm keeping, okay, am I coveting anything? Am I stealing anything? Am I killing anybody? Anything? No. Because if we go by the greatest commandment and come from that space of love, we're doing it already. From love, we don't want to hurt another. We don't want to offend another. Coming from love and knowing that I'm loving with everything I have, I'm loving myself. I, you, we are worth whatever the greatest expectation we can dream up of coming into manifestation. Because we're here on purpose to be love in expression. Each of us will express that differently. I know Marie Ann has a whole lot of other things going on in life, but can you tell me that you did not feel love when she stood up here and sung that song? Did you feel the love? Yes. Yes. Being love in expression. Whether it's singing, dancing, selling real estate, teaching a class, in anything, academics, art, yoga, building houses, fill in your blank, motivating folks, drawing, painting, city planning. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever is placed in you by spirit is what you're here for, what you're purposed for. And it is by going within and spending time with yourself, which includes spending time with the one who created you, because you're one. You get those inklings, you get those nudges, and you know what the dream is. Allow spirit within to guide you into being the love that you're created to be. And love is a verb, so it's an action word. So that means we have to take steps, whatever those steps are, to fulfill that love. Be it learn something new or brush off something and review. Take a leap. You have the faith, so take it. Charles Fillmore says that spirit communicates half a dozen different ways, through instinct, through intuition, through inspiration, imagination, dreams, visions, and through the still, small voice. What is that still, small voice? Have you taken some time to listen to it? If there's a void anywhere in your life, have you taken time to listen? To put out an intention, I want that void filled, and to sit and just be, to get the message. So when I spoke about miracles, and that Jesus says, you know, these things you can do and greater. To me, I saw that as an opportunity. Initially, I said a challenge. I said, no, back up, Kathy. Let's look at that language a little bit. When I said challenge, it was like, When I said opportunity, I said, oh, all right. Perhaps something else will work for you. Taking time allows us to figure out what works for us. So turning it into an opportunity felt a little better. I felt a little more adventurous. I felt a little more, oh, yeah, I can probably do that, whatever that is for you. And so I challenge not me, not you, but us. I challenge us to remember what miracles are, and to perhaps move it from that thought of supernatural God out there to a working of a high order law that I just don't know about yet. And that's all right. Why? Because I have all the faith that I require to allow that to work in my life. And discover the power within you. Eric Butterworth tells us that Jesus was looking at not the grace of poverty or lack that many in the religious world perhaps may have grown up with, but on the grace of abundance. He said the true sin is not to know your own divinity, to miss the mark is to not know the power of your own divinity. The true miracle is in the all-sufficiency of substance, of creative ideas, this supply to meet our demand, whatever we're demanding, that it is not over there somewhere, it's right here. Not only is it right where we are, it's what we need. My prayer for me, my prayer for all of us is that I know I'm ready to step into that, that you know you are ready to step into that all sufficiency. Grab hold of it and bump up your expectation of how that will manifest in your life. I challenge us to use our power of imagination. Imagination is one of our 12 powers, according to Charles Fillmore. It's already here. We already have it. But using our imagination from spirit, we build it, strengthen it, get rooted in it, and know that using the divinity we know we are and that we're worth it, that we increase the expectation of the picture of our lives, whatever that picture for your life that you paint for yourself, and that in that picture of your life, you are an active participant. Hear me, active participant, not seeing a picture of whatever it is and you're looking around, I don't see me in that picture. An active participant in that picture, because you are the point of power. In the picture of your life, you're the point of power. And your power is that love radiating out of you, showering over everyone you come in contact, using your great gift of expectation to do what is yours to do. Not only to bless yourself because you're worth it, but everyone you come in contact with. Why? Because everyone around us is worth it. Why? Because we're one. Why? Because all of us are created in the image and likeness of the Creator. And we're built to give. Bishop Spong tells us to love wastefully. We're built to give. We're built to be that love and not worry that it's going to run out. Because not only are we built to give, we're built to receive. So when I share, I go apart and replenish. I share that and go apart and replenish again. Each time, building our expectation of what we want that sharing to look like. We want to do it freely. Our great expectations are just that. It's ours. This is not a competition. It's about what each of us individually make it mean for ourselves. I don't have to be concerned. Not that it's not cool, not nice. Whatever I'm doing, it might just be in my household. I have a great expectation to create a place of warmth and love and beauty. It can be local. It can be in my neighborhood. Our ministry. There's no limit on either end. One person's great expectation is not comparable to another because our gifts are individual. So our dream will be individual. And we're worth the expectation that we set however we are moved to set it. We're all pieces of the puzzle, the mosaic of life, and each one of us counts. Every single one of us counts. Isn't that a good feeling? That you don't have to compare? That you can just be? It's all relative. It's all we learned in the eye of the storm a few months back. You know, our life is what we make it. There's nothing and no one against us. And it's all about our perspective, what we make it mean. That it is whatever it is for you. Right now, I'm just saying what we make our lives mean. So I encourage you to dream a bigger dream. And you might be dreaming this big. Well, dream this big. You might be dreaming this big. Well, dream this big. You might not be dreaming at all at the moment. There's no age limit on dreams. I'm just saying. I'm part of the group of reinventing oneself. It is never, ever too late. I love knowing that there is no space and time in spirit. Our founding minister, Paul, used to say, and it used to just touch my spirit, that, hey, perhaps you had a dream when you were a child. Now you're an adult. It doesn't mean the dream is dead. Reconfiguration. Reimagine it. It will look different because you're different. My dream from 10 years ago that I may not have fulfilled, that doesn't mean that it's gone, because if it keeps creeping up back there, you know what I'm talking about. You wake up in the morning, it's like, you need to do so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I know you know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, I can't, that's impossible. Oh, you know, I had that dream. Oh, it was 18.2 years ago. Well, it's been aggravating you for 18.2 years. It's about time to look at it and say, perhaps this is something for me to do. How can I do it? Ask and it is given. Let's say, ask believing. Ask knowing. Ask with the purpose of taking an action to begin to put that into play. In terms of my expectations, in terms of our expectations, I say let's take the limits off them starting today. I double dare you to take the limits off your dream. You're worth it. You're precious, you're whole, you're holy, you're not just, you're power-filled. Because the one power and presence that created each of us lives in and expresses as us. So let's go about the business of being a sharer of great expectations. Let's do it together. Let's do it from the point of where we are. Change fear, false evidences appearing real, whatever you want to call it, and know that it's just faith turned inside out. So fix your clothes, turn them on the right side, turn your faith on the right side, meaning from the inside out, let it be propelled from the God in and as you. Because I know you have work to do. I know you do. Just look at the world around us. Just take 2 seconds. I'm not going to put it on you. If you just, you know, maybe take 1 minute of CNN. I call it constant negative news. Just check it out. And you will see opportunities. See with the eyes of spirit and walk around your neighborhood. Look in your household and see what you could possibly do. And live from a point of power and know that there is no limit to the great expectations that you can bring into fruition. And so it is. Yes.
Kathy Grant, thank you. Beautiful, just beautiful. We're so blessed. We're so tremendously blessed. Our meditation song, I Am so blessed. I am so blessed for all that I have, for all that I am, and for all that God is. Breathe into your heart and know this with me. God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
Allow this to support you. Feel your feet flat on the floor and take a breath. And relax into your being. Give thanks in the power and presence flowing through every cell of your being. Florence Shin writes, "To play successfully the game of life, we must train the imagining faculty. A person with the imagining faculty trained to image only good brings into his or her life every righteous or right relation to the desires of his or her heart, be it health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression. Through that power of imagining, the power of our imagination, we can imagine our highest ideals. Imagine our dreams. We can give ourselves the gift of training our imaginations for great expectations of good. What good would you like to see in your life, experience in your life? Or experience more of in your life? What does receiving that good, living that good, experiencing that good, what does it feel like for you? How are you being as you live a greater expectation for yourself? use your gift of imagination to take a chance, to take the risk, to perhaps dream where you've never dreamt before, to have an expectation that perhaps you've never given yourself the ability to think on more than a split second. Allow grace to guide you into a few moments of silence of what that looks like for you. What great expectation can you imagine surrounding yourself in? Let us hold that as we move into the silence. Take a breath and know that whatever you imagined is possible. The power and presence that lives in and expresses as you. Empowers you to make it so. And even if nothing came to mind in this moment, just know that the act of participating, the willingness to be willing, opens the door of possibility. And that image may come to you at a later date and time. And when it does, give thanks for it, bless it, and watch it multiply. As we make our way back into our seats and be here now, we do so filled with gratitude for the opportunity to step away for a while, for the opportunity to allow the loving presence to give us a great big hug, and to know that all things are possible. Not some, not a few, not maybe, but all things are possible in partnership, knowing our oneness in and living through and expressing as spirit. And we are so grateful for every blessing, past, present, and yet to greatly unfold. We say thank you, thank you. So it is.
Thank you, Kathy. What a wonderful meditation. Really beautiful.